Open your Bibles to Psalm 45. The message this morning, God in His greatness, tonight at our evening service at 6 o'clock, the message, how God cares for His people. Looking forward to, we look into the Word of God this morning. We're going to go to Psalm 145, verse 3 and 5, and then Psalm 48, verse 1 and 14. We look into the Word of God. In Psalm 145, verse 3, I don't just hate it when somebody gives a chapter and verse. By the time you get there, he's already read it and moved on to two other verses. I try to slow down. Okay, Psalm 145, 3. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. Verse number 4. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. Now go back to Psalm 48, if you would, please. Psalm 48, verse 1, and then verse 14. Psalm 48, verse 1. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. And down to verse 14. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to you today and thank you for your blessings, for your goodness. And I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would open our hearts and minds and eyes to the Word of God. Teach us and instruct us and encourage us. And Lord, you know the heart and mind and soul of every person here today. I do not. So speak to us as we need spoken to. I pray, Father, for your Holy Spirit to do your work, and yet, Lord, that each and every heart would be open to your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. God and His greatness. The first thing I want to look at is the greatness of His power. The Psalms proclaim how great God is. Go to Psalm 147. A couple things here about the greatness of God. And we're going to look at Psalm 147, verse 4 and 5, the greatness of His power. And here in the Word of God, in verse 4 of Psalm 147, He telleth the number of the stars, He calleth them all by their names. Boy, there's a lot of stars out there, aren't there? But He calleth them all. God has a name for every one of them. Verse 5, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. There's no end to the understanding of God and the power of God. So, number one, God's power is not exhausted. Same God who spoke the heavens and the earth and the entire world into existence, God today has never lost His power. He has the same power that He's always had. We have the same God today that created the heavens and the earth, the same God who led Israel out of bondage in Egypt. His power is no less today than it was back then. But I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 40. Find the book of Isaiah. It's after Psalm and Proverbs. Keep working your way back there to Isaiah chapter 40. In Isaiah 40, we're going to look at verse 15, and we'll move down to a couple more verses. God's power is not surpassed. There's no one thing, no one person, nothing that has more power than God. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 15, behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, He taketh up the isles as a very little thing. Now look down in verse 17. All nations before Him are as nothing. They are counted unto him less than nothing and vanity. Go down to verse 21. Have you not known? Isaiah 40, verse 21. Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is He, that's God, that setteth upon the circle of the earth, and inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. God's power is not surpassed. You know what? God's power is more powerful than armies. It's more powerful than nations. More powerful than atomic bombs. But as I thought about that, God's power created the atom that man split. So I looked up. I'm thankful for a lot of good things on the internet. There's some horrible things, but there's some good things. So I looked up about an atom. It's been years since I was in science class. But it said an atom is equal to 1/1,000,000th of a meter. The math equation was 1e minus 9m, or 1 times 10 minus 9m, and that's beyond me, but that's what an atom is, equal to 1/1,000,000th of a meter. Man split the atom, but God created the atom that man split. We have a wonderful God, do we not? Amen? He takes note of the sparrow that falls. He knows the stars. He counteth by name. The very hairs of our head are numbered. God knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. And we look at the power of God back in Genesis when God spoke the world into existence. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God created the heavens and earth in 6 days, rested on the seventh. And there are always those who come back and they're looking at it from man's perspective. I think I shared with you several months ago about one of the top scientists in the world, one of the top five scientists, Dr. David Ray, who, doing his calculations, some of you remember me sharing this, and I went through all of his calculations. He was an atheist, and he was an evolutionist. But spending his time in his calculations, he came to the conclusion from his math. He was in quantum physics and quantum whatever, not quantum leap, but all that other quantum stuff. And he came to the conclusion, not a hypothesis, but he worked and reworked it. The world is 6,000 years old, and it baffled his mind. And he gave those calculations to his colleagues who went through it and gave it back to him after a time and said, it's wrong. So he said, okay, if it's wrong, he went back over them again. He came back to them and said, I went over them and over and over. Where was I wrong? I can't find any mistake in my calculations. And he said, they told him, your calculations are correct. We just disagree with your conclusion. And through that, showing one of the top five scientists in the world is no more than 6,000 years old. It's not millions and billions of years old. 6,000 years old, and through that, he became a born-again Christian. He trusted in Christ as his Savior. He said, I quit believing in evolution because there's no facts to back it up. You know, even when you look at it, God, who gave man the brain and the ability to do math. But God, when we read in God's Word, God, power to create, to speak the world into existence. Well, God's power can save a soul. I like that. Go over to Hebrews chapter 10, toward the back of the Bible. God's power to save a soul. I'm thankful for the power of God. He has the power to forgive your sins. No man on the face of this earth has the power to forgive you of your sins. Not one person can forgive you of your sins. I mean, you can go to somebody and say, hey, we had an argument and I was wrong, please forgive me. But I'm talking about when we sin. And when we sin against the righteous and the holy God. Only God can forgive sins. There ain't a man alive that can forgive you of your sins. Notice in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 17. Here's something else. God has the power to forget your sins and their sins and iniquities. That's breaking the laws of God. Will I remember no more? Means that they're forgiven. There's no punishment for forgiven sins. Isn't that wonderful? When you come to a righteous and holy God and you ask God for forgiveness, and when we ask for forgiveness, he said in John 6:37, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. When we come to him, he won't say, no, I don't want to hear you. He won't say, no, I won't forgive you. We come to a holy, righteous God and we ask for forgiveness. He forgives. Amen. And then he says, I'm not going to remember them anymore. I won't hold it to your account anymore. The slate is wiped clean regarding that sin. He will never judge us for forgiven sins. That's a fantastic thing, is it not? Amen. Now, the power of God delivers a soul from heading to hell and sets our course straight towards heaven. Forgiveness. Tell you what, it's a wonderful thing to be forgiven. We come to a righteous and holy God and we ask him for forgiveness and salvation. I said God's power can save a soul. Salvation, I say it's a two-parter. We repent of our sins. We're going down life's pathway. We're doing our own thing. You could be a good, moral, decent person or a rotten, wicked person, but we're heading down life's pathway, doing our own thing, what we think is right. But we come to the realization as the Holy Spirit convicts us that I need to be saved. I'm a sinner. I need Christ. I ask for forgiveness. I repent of those sins, which is more than asking for forgiveness. It's making an about face that I turned from my sin. And the Bible said repentance from sin and repentance toward God, that we turn from the way we were going and we turn toward God and we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. Amen. Asking for forgiveness, repentance, and then asking Jesus to come into our heart and save us. That's salvation by faith. Not by works, not by faith. And so the power of God to save a soul. Now let's go over to Philippians chapter 4. Nobody can save a soul but the Lord. The law can't save. Good works can't save. Religions can't save. Praise God, the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, and only he can save us. Amen? Now, the greatness of God to provide for our needs. Look in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. You ever have something you need? I'm not talking about something you want, but something you need. There's another portion of Scripture that said he'll give us the desires of our heart, but for right now, I want to look at this one, our need. the basic needs of daily life. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God shall, not could or maybe, God shall supply all your need, singular there, it doesn't say needs, it said need, according to his riches. How rich is God? Now you can study that out. He put the cattle on 1,000 hills. He put all the gold and the silver and all the wealth in the mines and in the ground. It's all his. God's bank is not broken. And so we come to a righteous and holy God, and we ask him for things, and we're to believe by faith. And sometimes people, I've had them say, Pastor, I asked, but I don't think God's going to do this. Remember in the Bible, he could do no mighty works because of their unbelief. God operates on faith, our believing. It's not what you and I can do. It's what the God can do, and God can work in and through us. But the greatness of God to provide for our needs. And you know what? Material goods are not always a sign of prosperity or success either. There are a lot of needs besides money and material goods. There's emotional needs, there's spiritual needs, there's physical needs, and so on. But I thought as I was going through this, to get a little more up to date, everybody knows, it's been on the news, Robin Williams committed suicide. How many, did anybody not catch that? Everybody did. I remember watching him in Mork and Mindy, a spinoff of Happy Days, and a few other things that he did. But you know what? He had money. He had fame. He was popular. He had stardom. He had famous. He was famous. But you know what? To commit suicide, there was a lot of things going on in his head and his heart. And you know what? He was depressed, and he took his life. The money didn't make him happy. The fame didn't make him happy. All of his stardom didn't make him happy. He was still fighting things in his mind. Finally, you get down to bottom line. I bet what he needed was Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll give you an example. I've probably shared it before. I think of certain things from time to time, and maybe the Holy Spirit recalls it to my mind. Several years ago, I think it was about in 2009, and I've gone out many times on suicide watch out at the Army base, and I was called by a captain. He had a female soldier that was suicidal. He said, you have to talk to the chaplain. And he said, now, just so you know, she said, I don't want any of this religion and Bible stuff shoved down my throat. He's not telling me not to talk to her. He's saying, this is what you're up against. So we go out there. We step. We talk. And as we're sitting there, and she's reliving things in her mind that she had saw the first time she was in Iraq. And she talked for about an hour and a half or more straight. And her eyes, you could tell it, her eyes were not steady over the training center. They were off. Thousands of miles away. And I asked her a couple of questions along the way. I never said anything about God, religion, the Bible, or anything. And finally, after about an hour and a half or so, tears coming down her face. And I said, soldier, I said, what's going on in your head and your heart? You know what she said? Chaplain, would you please tell me about God? So I told her about the Lord. She received him as her Savior, and she didn't blow her brains out. That's where she was at. You know what people need? They need the Lord. Amen. Now, Robin Williams, I don't know much about him other than his TV shows, but can you look at that? Sometimes we think in life, man, if I had $1 million, what could I do? I've heard people say, remember the old genie, you rub the lamp, get 3 wishes? Somebody said to me, what would you wish for if that were really true? It's hypothetical. I said, first thing I'd wish for is 1,000,000 more wishes. But what could you do? You know, God supplies our need. And there are a lot of people beside Robin Williams, a lot of people who have died because they were depressed. I've always said, as I've taught on it, before depression, and the 3 forms of depression, before depression there's discouragement, before discouragement there's worry. And that's the whole bottom line. Before you get to all that other, you start out by worry. We have a wonderful God. We can cast our care upon him. We can pray. We can believe. But God promised to supply our need, and all the worry in the world won't change anything. But let me get back to the message. God's provisions and his riches haven't been touched by inflation. So what are your needs? He promised to supply your need. Is there a need to be saved? If you're not saved this morning, God wants to save your soul and forgive you of your sins and give you eternal life in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you this. Once you're saved, he has the power not only to save you, but to keep you saved. Amen? The need to be baptized. Baptism doesn't wash away your sins, but it's the first act of obedience that a believer can do after they have been born again. It's an outward picture to those who watch that I have believed in the death, burial, and resurrection, and its obedience. The need to serve. Maybe you have the need to tell others about Christ. Maybe the need to pray. A lot of times people pray only when they're going through a hard time. I've had people sometimes that go through hard times. I said, and I'll ask them, are you reading your Bible or praying? Oh, I just started. When I started getting into trouble. That's wonderful, but do it every day. Spiritual food for the heart and the soul and the mind. From the Word of God and praying, communing, talking to God. There's one mediator between man and God, and that's Christ Jesus. He's the way to save us. He's the one who goes to God and mediates between man and God. He has the power to forgive sins, to meet our needs, to answer prayer. Maybe you have emotional needs or physical needs. Maybe the need for God's wisdom or the need for spiritual strength. Your needs could be many or few, but whatever they are, God is so great He can supply them for you. Your part, my part, is to ask and to believe. To believe this word. God's word said, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He supplies them on His timetable, let me say. I've had times where I've been between a rock and a hard place, and I would pray and cry out to God and ask God, and I don't get it, because I want it now. You're afraid you want it now, and you don't get it now. And finally, you get it down the road just at the very, very last moment.
I used to wonder why, and then I began to realize years ago, because I didn't really need it before. I only needed it the last moment.
God will test our faith because He cares for us. And when our faith is tested and stretched, we get strengthened by it, do we not? And so, the power of God. What are your needs? And then the greatness of God to be with us. Go over to the Gospel of John chapter 6. The Gospel of John chapter 6. The greatness of God to be with us. And go down to verse number 37. John chapter 6, verse 37. Jesus here, He's giving the great discourse on the bread of life. We get down to verse 37 of John 6. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. You know, if we come to the Lord for salvation, He won't turn us away. He won't say you're not good enough to be saved. He won't say you're too good to be saved. If we come to Him, He'll save us. When we come to Him in prayer and we pray and we believe and we ask, He won't turn us away. The power of God, the greatness of God to be with us. You know what? He's with us all the time. Wherever you go, when you're up on the spiritual mountaintop or you're down in the valley, when you're having peaks of greatness or when everything is going wrong, God is there. Sometimes people say, well, where is God in the midst of this? I always think of old Job when you go through hard times. Remember all the things that happened to Job? Wasn't God doing it to Job? It was the old devil trying to get Job to the place to curse God. And he wouldn't do it. Let me tell you something. Always remember, God builds, the old devil destroys. When you find things in your life all around you falling down and down around, it is not God. God's not the author of confusion. It's not God messing up your life. The old devil will mess it up. And also, I'm going to say that sometimes we mess up our own lives. You ever make a dumb mistake and you pay for it? Sometimes we mess up our own lives and the devil will fight us and he plays with our mind. Why blame God? A lot of times people blame God. Well, God, why'd you let this happen to me? I always think of the classic example of a fellow I was talking to years ago. He was so deep in debt and he had, I don't know how many credit cards, ran to the max. He said, why did God let that happen to me? And I said, is God's name the signature on any one of your credit slips? He said, no. I said, God didn't do that to you. You did it yourself. I mean, God don't take your credit card and charge stuff. People blame God for all types of things. And the Holy Spirit's always with us, too. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Notice Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. Paul's writing to the Christian church at Ephesus. And in chapter 1, verse 13, he said, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now that sealing is a symbolism. It signifies a finished transaction. It signifies ownership. When you're saved, the Holy Spirit indwells us and He seals us. It shows ownership. We're now a child of God. He owns us. And look over in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. He said, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are what? Sealed unto the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit seals us to the day of redemption until God calls us home. He's our comforter. He's our teacher. He convicts. He helps. He goes alongside to help us. The seal denotes ownership. It makes it official. It shows a finished transaction. It proves that we are secure and saved forever. I'm so glad that the Bible teaches, and there's over 100 scriptures in the Bible that teach that once we're saved, we're always saved. There ain't one single verse in the Bible that teaches that you can get saved and lose your salvation. It's just not there. It's not there. I've had people tell me various things, and I have offered. I have said this, and not to be a smart aleck, I've offered people. I said, you know what? If you could prove to me from the scripture, not from the writings of some man or woman, but from this book, that a person who's so saved by grace had their sins forgiven, if they could lose their salvation, pointed out to me in the Bible, I'll give you 10 grand. Nobody has ever come back to collect that money. I had one man in Wisconsin came back to me, assistant pastor of a church that believed you can lose your salvation. He started pushing that on me, and I shared with him scripture, and he wouldn't listen to the scripture. And so I gave him that, and he said he went back to his pastor and their church board and everything, and they went over it on and off for 2-3 weeks, and he came back and he said, Pastor, he said, they wouldn't come and tell you, but he said, I had to come and tell you as we met for 2-3 weeks, he says, they couldn't find a verse that could show that you could lose your salvation. That's because it ain't there, amen? When we're saved, we're a child of God. We're adopted into the family of God. We have legal standing before God. We're in the family of God. It doesn't mean we're perfect. It doesn't mean we won't mess up. But what it means is we're saved. The Lord, Paul says in Romans, the Lord adopts us into the family of God. We have legal standing. And when God saves us, He does a pretty good job. Amen? He saves us completely. He saves us to the uttermost, the Bible says. While I'm on that, let me go to one other scripture before I get down to the bottom here. Go to John chapter 10. There's over 100 scriptures. I'll just give you a couple here that you might can use to help somebody. In John 10, Jesus is the good shepherd, and we are the sheep. He said in John 10, 27, my sheep, that's born-again believers, hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. He said, I give unto them eternal life. How long is eternal life? Who can tell me? Forever. And they shall never perish. That word perish means they'll never be lost and go to hell. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. I've had people say, well, you can pluck yourself out. I said, wait a minute. Neither shall any man. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And I say, are you greater than God? No. Then how can you pluck yourself out? But say, now the old devil can. But I said, my Father which gave them me is greater than all. You're telling me the old devil's greater than God? And if that were true, when there was war in heaven, and Lucifer did battle with Michael the archangel and his angels, if the devil was greater, he would have kicked God and all those other angels out. No, he got kicked out. Listen, the power of God is so fantastic, not only to wash away our sins, to save us forever, and the power of God to keep us saved. And oh, how we need to live like we've been to Calvary. Well, the Word is with us. Go to John chapter 1. We're in John. His Word is always with us. The greatness of God to be with us, as I just shared, but His Word is with us. Look in John 1:1. In John chapter 1, verse 1, as John writes to the local church, in the beginning was the Word, capital W-O-R-D. That means the divine expression of God Himself, Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now go down to verse 12. But as many as, back to verse 11, He came to His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Notice, the power to be saved is from God. The power to stay saved is from God. Which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. In verse 14, and the Word, that's Jesus Christ, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We have the living Word, Jesus Christ, once we're saved. And go to Revelation chapter 19, toward the back of the book. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 13. And here it's talking about the second coming of Christ in glory in Revelation chapter 19. And down in verse number 13, it's talking about Christ, and He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And His name is called. What's His name called? Who can help me? The Word of God. Amen. Listen, we have a wonderful God. And God has a purpose for us. He created us for His honor and glory and to serve Him. Go to Colossians 3:24. You know, everything God does is for a purpose. He put us here for a purpose. He put us here to save us. He put us here to fellowship with Him. He put us here to serve Him. He put us here to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Find the book of Philippians in the book of Colossians, chapter 3 and verse 24. Paul writes to the church at Colossae, and he tells us in chapter 3, verse 24, knowing that of the Lord, ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. That's where we're supposed to serve the Lord. And then go to 1 Thessalonians 5:24. While you still have breath left in you, God's not finished with you. Isn't that a wonderful thing? While you're alive, while you and I are here on this earth, God is not finished with you. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what's going on in your life. God is not finished with you. He has something for you. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. It's a very short verse. I'm only going to spend a few minutes on it for the sake of time. I ain't a betting man, but I bet you I could preach 3 whole days on this verse and never get to the bottom of it. Faithful is he that calleth you who will also do it. Listen, God said, and God is faithful, he calls us. God said, if you're not saved this morning, he said, I want to save you. Who does the saving? The Lord does. Nobody else can save you. Faithful is he that calleth you who will also do it. God said, I have a purpose for your life. I want you to serve me. A lot of times people say, but I can't. I don't know how. God said, if you will so yield to me, that as we live our life, as we serve the Lord Jesus Christ, that it's Christ in us, the hope of glory, as we yield to him and the power of the Holy Spirit, that he works in us to do his will. There are times that sometimes as we think, as we preach, as we serve, as we witness, God enables us to do things, to share the gospel. He enables us to live a life that keeps us close to him. He enables us to do the right thing. Faithful is he that calleth you who will also do it. Our part is to yield to him. Listen, your Christian testimony can be used of God. Your prayers will be heard from God. I'm going to tell you something. Don't ever be short-sighted on praying. Your Christian testimony, your prayers for souls to be saved, your prayers for others' needs as well as yourself. Your life can count for Christ if you let it count. And the Bible said, and I'm not going to turn there, but in Romans 6:16, it talks about yielding to him. Letting him have first place in your life. Letting him work in your life. God doesn't look at us like puppets on a string. You know, puppets on a string, somebody's manipulating the strings. We're not puppets on a string. God gave man a free will. People do what they want sometimes. But we ought to get the place in our Christian life where we do what he wants me to do, only to do what he wants me to do. To be the Christian God wants us to be. To live a life that he wants us to live. To serve him the way he wants us to serve him. We have a great God. He's worth believing in. Go to Psalm 68 and we'll be done. He's worth trusting in to save your soul. The greatness of God is bigger than the heavens and therefore bigger than this current world situation we have today. His greatness is bigger than your biggest problem that you face, whether now or in the future. But look at Psalm 68:19. Here he said, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. That word Selah is in there. Didn't you know Selah is in the Bible? In music, it's a rest or a pause. And then look at Psalm 116:12. He daily loads us with benefits. Psalm 116:12. He loads us with benefits, but now the psalmist comes in Psalm 116:12 and said, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? He said, God has blessed me. What am I going to give back to God? You know what he really wants? He wants you. He wants your life. If you're not saved this morning, he wants to save you. If you're saved, he wants you to live for him. He wants you to be faithful. He wants you to serve him. He wants you to tell others. He wants you to lean on him and depend upon him. We have a wonderful God. Let's stand this morning with every head bowed and every eye closed.